Daniel, if you will. We'll finish the message up tonight. I told the brothers who came in there a while ago, I said I would let you preach tonight, but God really burdened their heart to finish this message. And I try my best to pray and just ask the Lord what He wants us to do. And I do want to follow His will always, and try my best to stay in His will. Daniel chapter number 6 tonight. Find your place. Let's stand for the word, for the reading of the Word of God tonight. You pray for us. God help us in the message tonight as we look at this. We're preaching on changing the heart of the captor. You remember this morning we told you there in the book of Daniel, verse number 3 and verse number 16. We'll read our text verses there. We began to talk about how that Darius is king here. And Darius being king there, it's kind of odd and unusual, I guess, that he would prefer a captive. He is the captor. And if you're studying your scriptures there, that Israel is actually in bondage here. This is the last few years, if you will, of their bondage. And as we begin to look there, we begin to look at Daniel there, that the Bible says, let's read the scripture there, verse number 3. The Bible says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then in verse number 16, same chapter, look there with me. The Bible says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your long suffering. Thank you for being so good to us. Lord, we come before you tonight realizing, Lord, we're nothing. Realizing, God, we can do nothing, God, without thee. And we're begging you, God, tonight you'd move in our midst. You'd help us tonight as we stand before you people, God, that you'd give us a fresh anointing, God, fresh oil. Help us, Lord, as we dig into thy word, God, that you'd take the word of God. And, oh, God, that you'd let us see everything that we need out of it, Father, we pray. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, it is a lamp to our feet, light to our path, and we do thank you for it. Lord, I pray again that you'd bless tonight. Lord, give us fresh oil, fresh unction, whatever's accomplished. Lord, we give you praise for that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll look at just a little bit more about this. Again, I want to point out these scriptures here, verse 3. The Bible says here that Daniel was preferred there over the presidents and over the princes. And then if you notice verse number 16 there, the Bible says, then God, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And I notice there in the scriptures that King Darius is the captor. And I made this statement and this fact, tried to point out this fact this morning, that the King Darius there, he was of the Medians there. And if we find him there, he would not have known anything about Israel's God. He would not have known anything about the children of Israel. I guess we could just say it this way. He probably didn't believe in God, okay? He may have believed in a lot of other gods, but he didn't believe in the God, okay? And as I began to look at this, I see that Daniel there, as we began to look at it, that Daniel is preferred above even his own people there, even his own presidents and even his own princes there. And as we look at that, we got to think in our minds and we got to step back and say, well, what is it about Daniel that would cause this king to like him and to prefer him above everybody else? And what is it about this king that does not believe in God or maybe believes in other gods and don't know the gods of Israel there? What is it about this Daniel that caused this king to look at him and make the statement, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee? That's kind of an odd statement there, because he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't know the God of Israel, if you will. And for him to make that statement, there had to be something in Daniel that would cause him to change his mind and change his heart to know that the God of Israel would deliver Daniel out of the den of lions, that he would bring him out of there. So with that thought in mind, that what we're looking at is this, is what is it about Daniel that actually changed the heart of Darius there? Darius, again, being the captor, he's the one that's king. He could take Daniel's life if he wanted to. He could reach out and take his life and just at a snap of a finger. But yet what has happened here, Daniel has become preferred over all the others, and he believed in Daniel's God. And I want to say this one more time. Church, I know we're not under bondage. I understand that. I know we're not captivity. I understand that. But I do believe the same mentality and the same thought here. Every place we go, everywhere we're at, I believe we need to be taking the same thought as the people that's around us, is I want to change their heart from believing in the gods of this world to believing in the God of gods, amen, and the King of kings. I want them to believe in Jesus, and I believe the same attributes that Daniel has, if I have them in my life, it'll change their hearts, okay? It'll do the same thing. Number one, I gave you this morning. Daniel had a purposed heart. We find over there in the book of Daniel chapter 1 verse 18. I'm not going to preach it again, but I do want to kind of bring your memory back. He had a purposed heart. Daniel chapter 1 verse 18 said that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself for the king's meat. And I say to you tonight, church, we've got a purpose in our heart. We've got to set our minds. We've got to be determined. We're not going to go with the devil, okay? We're going to stay with God. We're going to stay with Jesus, okay? And we're going to do what he wants us to do, amen? So he had a proposed heart, if you will, purpose heart. I'll get it right in a minute. Number two, Daniel had the Spirit of God. We found that over there in Daniel chapter 5, verse number 11. I'm glad to say tonight we have the Spirit of God, amen? And Daniel there, he had the Spirit of God. The Bible says there in that scripture, there is a man in the kingdom in whom is the Spirit of the holy gods. Listen, they didn't say anything about him dreaming or interpreting dreams. They didn't say anything else that is special about him. But they said, hey, this man has the Spirit of the God, holy gods on him. In other words, they didn't know what they're talking about. When they said the holy gods, they need to understand they wasn't but one God, amen? And they really didn't even understand what they were talking about. But all they know was he had something special on him, okay? He had the Spirit of the gods on him, amen? And I say tonight, it wasn't the gods, it was the God, amen? I believe that. So he had the Spirit of God on him. Then number three, we told you this, he not only had a purposed heart, he had the Spirit of God on him, but number three, he had some praying knees. I believe he wore his knees out of praying, amen? I thought about this evening a little bit. I thought to myself, well, we worry about wearing our old bodies out. Everybody getting old, amen? Everybody go ahead and wave, say amen right there. We're all getting old, amen? And there's things about us that's wearing out, amen? Our arms, our hands, our eyes, different things. I believe if there's anything that ought to wear out about us, I believe it ought to be our knees. Amen. Where we've been on our knees of praying for lost souls and begging God to save lost souls and begging God to bring people into the church, I believe we ought to wear these out. Amen. And as we looked at that, I began to tell you about Daniel. He was a man of prayer, and he began to pray. He's praying, and I'm just going to read across these that I give you. As we left this morning, it was a habitual prayer. In other words, it was a habit to him. He didn't have to worry about it. It was something that became habit in his life there. It was a systematic prayer. He prayed three times a day, every single day. He had it laid out, and he prayed three times a day. It was a secret prayer. He went into his prayer closet, got a hold of God. We find that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 there, where he told us, go enter into thy closet and pray in our closet there. So that's what he did there. He entered into that room, flung open the windows there, and prayed towards Jerusalem there. It was also an earnest prayer. Bible says there, and he set his face, and he began to pray, to seek by prayer. We ought to pray with an earnest prayer, amen? By the way, the Bible says in the book of James over there, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think sometimes we go to prayer and we're just going nonchalant and we don't really put our emphasis into it. But I'll say this tonight, if we'll go with an earnest prayer and an earnest heart, God will answer that prayer for you. God will give you that. He said he'd give you the desires of your heart tonight, amen. And he said in his scriptures there, he promised you that. And I believe if we'll pray with an earnest heart, he'll give us that. Then we also find it was a self-denial prayer. It was a humble prayer. It was a reverent prayer. It was a prayer of confession, if you will. A prayer of believing there. I believe you ought to pray believing. Amen. Amen. He says to pray believing it be given to you. Amen. Then also a grateful prayer. He gives great God the thanks. Also a courageous prayer. And a God glorifying prayer. Amen. We can look and find in Daniel's prayer life
all these attributes in there. I say one more time, I wonder how many of us would say our prayer life is up to par like Daniel's was. Amen. I don't know that any of us could say that. But I noticed one thing else in this, and God had pointed this out this morning, but I want to point it out tonight. Notice in verse number 11, I love this here, and we'll give you this, and then we'll move on. The Bible says in verse number 11 there, chapter 6, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. I noticed that statement there, and found Daniel praying. Wouldn't it be good if some folk found us praying? Amen. Wouldn't it do good? Wouldn't it be good if every now and then they'd find us praying? Amen. Do you remember years ago, and when you heard Mama and Daddy, you could hear them praying? Do you remember Grandma and Grandpa? You could hear them praying. They were found praying. I've told you this story many times, and I'll give it to you again, then we'll move on. I remember my little granny, she's done dead and gone on to be with the Lord. I spent the night with them one night, and we stayed there in the house, and she had two twin beds. I was on one side of the room, she is on the other side of the room, and she thought I was asleep, but I hadn't drifted off to sleep yet. And I can remember vividly in my mind hearing her pray, call out my name and say, Lord, save Mark. Lord, save Mark. I was under conviction. And I remember hearing her call my name out during that night. Can I say her prayer was answered? Amen. Her prayer was answered. Amen. And she was found praying. Church, I believe every one of us ought to be the same way. We ought to be found praying. Amen. We ought to be found calling on God. I believe that. So Daniel there had a praying knees, if you will. So these three things are things that were in his life that caused, if you will, or had a reaction on this man by the name of Darius, this king by the name of Darius, and it changed his mind and his heart to believe in Daniel's God. So let me give you number four here. The Bible says here in the scripture we just read to you, Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, notice this, because an excellent spirit was in him. He had an excellent spirit. That's number four. I thought about this. He just had an excellent spirit. Now I began to look at this and began to think in my mind, well, what exactly does that entail? What exactly, when the scriptures here say that it was an excellent spirit, what exactly does that mean? Can I put it this way to you? In my definition, I begin to run the definition. Look at this. The word excellent there, it means to abound. It means better than. It means reaching farther, if you will, or going farther, okay? He was a man that didn't just stop with the common, okay? He didn't just stop with right here's good enough. But he was going all the way, and he was doing everything he could do. Hey, church, listen to me tonight. I believe in our church tonight. I believe in our Christian lives. We shouldn't just settle, okay? We shouldn't just stop right here. We ought to go even farther and farther and farther and desire to go as far as we can for God. Amen? I believe we ought to reach out as far as we can. I don't know about you, but it bothers me. I say this many times, and I'm sure being truthful with you, I am OCD, okay? I like things in order. I like things right. I like things the way they're supposed to be, okay? If you don't like that, you'll just have to disagree with me right there, okay? But I'm OCD. I like that. But I also think about the statement that he said so many times as well, that's good enough. We're living in society and we're living in a world today when everybody has just said, well, that's good enough. And some things you can say that. Some things you can say, well, that's far enough. Let's just stop here. Let's don't go any farther. But you listen to me tonight. In the work of God and in your Christian life, you cannot say that's good enough. You need to be an excellent, have an excellent spirit like Daniel did. You need to go as far as you can with God. You need to go as far as you can with Him. Amen. I appreciate what this brother said here. He had a vision for the future. I thank God for that, brother. I agree with you 100%. We ought to have a vision for out there. If you're just looking right here, we're missing the mark. Amen. We need to be looking out yonder. We need to be reaching, amen, 5, 10, 15, 20 years out there. What's this church going to be like in 20 years, amen? We ought to be preparing now and trying our best to get our church in the shape it needs to be for 20 years from now, amen? We ought to be excelling farther in your Christian life. By the way, I believe I could say this and be truthful. If you ain't closer to God today than you was yesterday, you're backslidden. Amen. I believe we ought to go farther. I believe it. Listen, every single day we ought to learn more about God. You'll never learn it all. Amen. Until we get to heaven, we'll never know everything about God. But we ought to strive to know more and to learn more and to go farther and to witness more. I believe we ought to try more and more and more. That was the spirit that Daniel had. Daniel, there, him having that spirit, old King Darius said, man, there's something special about this boy. Man, he ain't going to stop for just a little bit. He ain't going to stop just for the common ordinary, and that's far enough. But he's going to go all the way. He's going to go as far as he can. Amen. I believe that's what the way we ought to be in our Christian life. Amen. Let me give you number five as we look here. Not only does he have an excellent spirit, but I notice in chapter number 6, verse number 4, notice this. The Bible says in chapter 6, verse number 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Did you notice what he said there? He was faithful. Oh, praise God for somebody that's faithful. Can I say that one more time? Praise God for somebody that's faithful. Amen. You just don't realize somebody that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's there. Amen. That's where he was at. He was faithful. Now I began to think about this. What was Daniel faithful in? I mean, this is the presidents and the princes that's talking. These are the men, as I began to look at this, these are the men that want Daniel dead. They're the men that are his enemies, if you will. They're the ones that have come against him. But yet these men have watched him, and by watching his life have come to the realization that this man is faithful. Wow. Then what in the world? What was it that they saw in Daniel? Where was it that they saw Daniel that he would be faithful? I got to thinking about it. Number one, I believe he is faithful in his prayer. They watched him three times a day. They watched him every single day go up there. They watched him windows fly open. They watched him pray. I believe they watched him maybe go to the tabernacle, if you will, go to the temple there and begin to pray. I believe they watched him just be faithful there in King Darius' court there. That's where he was at. I believe he's just faithful. I mean, everything he did, continually worshiping God, continually serving God. I believe as we look there, he was just faithful. Don't you reckon you and I ought to be the same way? Amen. I said this morning, I'll say it again. Wonder how many people saw you get in your car, crank your car up, and ride down the road and come to the house of God. And maybe some lost person on the side of the road that knows you and seen you go by on a Sunday morning, and he knows in his mind, he said, he's going to the house of God. He's going to worship the Lord. How many tonight seen you come by and they watched you come by? Maybe they waved at you as you come down, a lost man. But yet they looked at you and they knew that you was headed to the house of God to worship God. Hey, you know what that is? That's just being faithful. Amen. That's just being faithful. I had an old preacher years ago, and you know me, I very, very seldom call off church, okay? Everybody knows that. Somebody go ahead and say amen right there. We very seldom call off church. And I'll tell you the reason why. I had an old preacher tell me years ago. He said, when you call off church and the church house is dark and there's no lights in the windows on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, you don't see no light there, it means that there's nobody there. And those lost people driving by, they don't see that light. They don't see nobody there worshiping God. I don't want anybody to drive by and see this church dark. Amen. I want to see it shining light. I want to see it shining out. Amen. I want them to see us being faithful. I want them to see us every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting. I want them to see us being faithful. And not only right here in the house of God, but also out there. Faithful in our financial dealings. Faithful, if you will, in our house. Faithful in our home. Faithful in our work. I want them to see Jesus in our lives and just be faithful. Amen. That's where Daniel was at. Daniel was there just being faithful. And that being faithful is what changed the heart of King Darius there and caused him to be preferred over all these others and called Darius, caused Darius there when he began to be cast into the den of lions there to look and say, hey, Daniel, your God will deliver you. I've been watching you. I've been watching that you've been serving him and he's been working in your life. Your God will deliver you, okay? That's the reason, because Daniel was faithful in that. So I find there that Daniel was faithful. Daniel was also, if you will, there, had excellent spirit. But let me give you the last thing. I thought about Daniel was faultless. Daniel was faultless. Notice that scripture I read to you there just then in verse number 4. The Bible says in the last part of this, well, let's read the whole verse. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now you say, preacher, he was perfect. That ain't what the Bible says. There's never been one perfect man. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. But he said they were faultless, okay? They were trying to find a place where he just failed. They were trying to find a place where he was corrupt, where he was doing dealings wrong, where he was in sin. They tried to find that place and could not find that. Can I say this to you tonight? It ain't wrong to be holy. Amen. What's wrong with being right? Hey, we still, listen, that Bible, as far as I know, and as far as I can tell, and you preachers can attest to this, you can attest here, as far as I know, that Bible's still true. As far as I know, that Bible's still right. Amen. It's been many years tested, and it's still right. And the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. So that means that we're to be as close to God as we can. We're to be, as says, sinless as we can. Stay away from sin. We're to try to be as close to God as we can, getting rid of the old stuff. I believe we ought to try our best to be faultless. In other words, no false sense. Now again, I understand that we're all sinners saved by grace. I understand you're not going to be perfect. But I don't want anything in my heart or in my life that somebody can come up and point a finger at. Amen. You shouldn't either. Amen. I don't want anything like that. I guarantee you if he had not been faultless there, then he would have not have changed the heart of Darius there. Oh, I don't know about you, but I believe we live in a world today when there's some folks around us needs their heart changed. They need their heart changed, amen. They need the change of heart. And what they see us, listen, you may be the only Bible they ever read, somebody said one time. I believe it to be the truth, amen. You may be the only one that they ever see. They see you come to the house of God. They see you faithful. They see you living right. They see you doing right. They see you faultless there. That could change their heart and cause someone to be saved. I've heard story after story after story of folks that would say, well, I watched old so-and-so. And I watched them for years and years and years. And I watched them how they got up and they'd go to the house of God. I watched them how they trusted in the Lord. I watched them how they were this lived right, if you will. And by doing that, it caused me to be drawn to God. It caused a conviction in my heart. I believe tonight, church, we ought to have these attributes that Daniel had. I believe we live in a world all over the place, all around us, that we should desire for their heart to be changed. I believe we ought to look, we live in that world and all around that every one of us ought to have the thought in our mind, I want them to be changed. I want their heart to be changed. And I believe we can have that if we'll have every one of these attributes in our lives. Now, I want to end with this. I want to go back, if you will, to verse number 16. Verse number 16, the Bible says this. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. I say, what a statement. What a promise. He will deliver thee. O King Darius, don't even believe in God. All he believes in is gods of this world. And yet he's looking at Daniel and telling him, your God's going to deliver you. Your God's going to take care of that. But as I look at this and think in my mind, I think about Daniel, and I thought about, well, I need to go one more step here. I thought about how Daniel felt. Daniel's getting ready to be cast into a den of lions. Not a lion's den, again, but a den of lions. In other words, there's lions in there. And this king is getting ready to cast him in to that place. Now, if you study the scriptures there, the king got tricked. The king don't want to, but he still is going to cast Daniel into that place. But I find on down in the scripture here, notice with me, if you will, on down in that scripture, in verse 21, I find forgiveness in Daniel's heart. The Bible says here, then said Daniel unto king, O king, live forever. Now, I ain't going to take time to read all the scripture there, but you know what happened. You've heard it all your life. Old king went there to the den and he cried out, said, Daniel, are you all right? And I'm paraphrasing here. Are you all right? Did your king deliver you? And old Daniel says, O king, live forever. You know what I see right here? I see forgiveness in Daniel's heart. Amen. I believe the last one, maybe number 7, is Daniel had a forgiving heart. Daniel forgave him. He knew that he cast him into that place. He knew he had made the decree. He knew he'd made the command to put him in that den of lions there. But he still forgave him. He still had forgiveness. He still is. He didn't hold it against him. Oh, I believe we've got to have a forgiving heart tonight. The Bible talks about over there in the scriptures. I believe it's in the Lord's Prayer. I believe it's in the book of Matthew. That if we don't forgive others their trespasses, he'll never forgive us of our trespasses. Amen. I believe we ought to have a forgiving heart. I realize we live in an old, I call it a dog-eat-dog world. In other words, it's a world that we don't forgive. Oh, we hold them grudges. Boy, somebody does something against you. 15 years later, boy, I don't know about that. And he done me wrong 15 years ago. That ain't Christ-like. That ain't right with God. Amen. That ain't right with God. Listen, I believe we ought to have a forgiving heart. And I believe if there's anything that would cause King's heart to be changed, I believe it's that forgiving heart. If there's anything that made a greater impact on that king, I believe it's when Daniel said, O king, live forever. In other words, I don't hold it against you. I'm not going to hold against you. You know what I believe that did? I believe Daniel just rose a little higher. And he went a little higher. I'll promise you this. If you'll have a forgiving heart, you just rise a little higher. Folks will just watch you a little bit more, a little bit more. And you know what you can do? I'm not saying boastfully of you. I'm saying it's him. I'm saying you can shine the Lord more. Amen. You can show more about him. Amen. You can give more about him. Listen. If you'll just have that forgiving heart. I want to give you one more thing. I want to read back over these one more time. Number one, he purposed in his heart. Number two, he had the Spirit of God on him. Number three, he had praying knees. Let's use our knees tonight and pray. Then he had an excellent spirit in him. He didn't just stop just because it's just right here, but he went a little farther. Then Daniel was faithful. And then he also was faultless. But then Daniel was also forgiving. He had a forgiving heart down inside of him. And again, church, all these things, all these 7 things, if they're evident in our heart and in our lives, it'll cause those around us to love us. Amen. It'll cause those around us to love us. I'll be honest with you right here. I've heard people and even heard preachers make the statement and almost sound like they're bragging that, boy, this one hates me. This one don't like me. Boy, I preached hard and they don't like me for that. I don't believe that's in the Bible. I'm just going to be honest. I don't believe that's in the Bible. Now, I believe, listen to me, if you preach the Word of God and you stand on that Word, okay, they may not like what you're preaching. They may not like the Word of God telling them that they're wrong, but they'll respect you for it. If you've got these 7 things in your heart, you've got that forgiving heart, you've purposed your heart, you've got all these things that I mentioned to you, they will respect you for that. They will respect you. I'll say it one more time. They will respect you for that. I believe that. Listen, I worry about the times when they say they hate me. As people think that's good. That's not good. I'm not saying we ought to go with the world. I'm not saying that by no means. I ain't saying we ought to compromise with the world to get them to come over our. I'm not saying that. No, by no means. But I'm saying this. If you live just like Daniel did right here, it will change their heart about you. They'll listen more about to you. Amen. About Christ. Amen. They'll listen more to you. I'll promise you that. Amen. Let's stand your feet if you will.